If you have Bibles, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 6. And I'll just be reading from the last half of that chapter, beginning in verse 16. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient to the heart of the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Now, I'm speaking in human terms because of our natural limitations. But just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, which leads to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear also these words in Galatians chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Today, we celebrate our country's Declaration of Independence. Now, most of you probably are aware that the 4th of July was actually not the beginning of the independence of the United States, but it was actually the beginning of the war. It wasn't even the beginning of the war. I mean, the shot heard around the world at Bunker Hill happened the year prior, but on July 4th, 1776, this Declaration of Independence was actually the beginning of the battles that would begin, the fights that would occur over the freedom that the colonies were seeking from a tyrannical government. But also, if you read the Declaration of Independence, you realize they weren't declaring themselves free from all government. They weren't saying, we are free from anyone telling us what to do. No, what they were declaring was, we're free from a tyrannical government, and we are submitting ourselves to a good government. The opening line says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate yet equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impelled them to the separation. So the opening line says, we need to explain why we're doing this. We're not just saying, hey, we don't like you anymore, so we want to be our own country. We think in a few hundred years, we could probably be bigger and more important than you, and so the only way we're going to do that is by separating. No, they said, we need to explain the proper reasons for this. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, and these governments derive their powers from the consent of the governed. See, it seems like today we talk a lot about freedom, but we don't actually talk about freedom in its full sense. We only ever talk about one side of freedom. We talk about the things that we're free from, But we rarely admit or acknowledge that freedom from one thing necessarily means I'm going to subject myself to something else. To be free from this tyrannical government, I'm saying there's a better government available. There's a better choice. There's something else out there. For example, I consider myself free from the single life. I am free. I can't tell you how free I am. Some of you may not remember what that was like, being single. Some of you do and remember it daily, what that means to be single, the tyranny of being single. Worrying all the time, am I up to date? Do I know everything I need to know socially, culturally, medially? Have I watched the right shows? Have I listened to the right music? Am I hip? Am I allowed to say hip? Is hip the word I use? Oh, what word do I use? How do I find out? Do people like me? Am I appealing to people? I'm so free. I am free from that. But by freeing myself from that, I have submitted myself to the yoke of marriage. Now you singles might say, I'm free from that yoke of marriage. There's no one that tells me, no one tells me what to do. No one tells me I can't eat over the sink. No one tells me I can't use the sink for other things. There's no one that tells me that I need more than 2 cups and 3 plates and 1 fork. And why can't I just lick the fork and put it back? No one's going to tell me I can't do those things. I'm free from the yoke of marriage. But to be free from the yoke of marriage means that I'm under the yoke of being single. This is true in other areas of life. I mean, that's humorous, but even success and comfort. There are people who would say that they're free from the yoke of success. They're not ruled by success. They let that drive them. But often, those people are ruled by this level of comfort. They're not driven by success because it would require effort. It would require me to do something, expend myself, to actually try harder, to show my efforts, to maybe learn a new aspect of my trade, to go for further schooling. And so they're like, well, I'm just not driven by success. Well, it could be that you're just driven by comfort. And so you actually are under this yoke. You're under the leadership. You've set comfort as your master. Other people balance between job and family. Perhaps I'm not driven by my job. Job is not my master. That's a good thing not to have job as your master. But is job not your master simply because family is my master? Every decision I make is completely centered around my family. Is my family happy? Are my kids happy? Are my kids successful? This is sort of the picture we have in the colonies declaring their independence. They saw this tyrannical master across the sea and said, we are not going to submit ourselves to the tyranny of this bad government, but by doing that, they were saying, we will submit ourselves to a good government. This is the language that Paul uses when he talks about being slaves. He says, you're either a slave to your sin, to all your desires, or you're a slave to Christ. You need to be, you will serve some master. None of us controls ourselves. None of us are totally free. All of us are under some master in our lives. This is the way one author puts it. She says, whatever controls us is our master. The person who seeks power is controlled by power. The person who seeks acceptance is controlled by the people he or she wants to please. We do not control ourselves. We are controlled by the master of our lives. We look to things as our definers. What defines me? What gives me, basically, the masters? We look for good masters, and a good master will give you purpose, freedom, and assurance. This is what a good master exists for. Purpose. Why am I here? Why do I exist? Now, here's the funny thing. All masters will try to tell you why you're here, why you exist. They'll give you purpose. But But can all masters give you freedom? Now, I don't mean freedom to do anything. I mean freedom to do the things that you ought to be doing. Because a good master will give you freedom to do the things that you know you should be doing. A bad master actually keeps you from doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, the things that you know you ought to be doing. And assurance. A good master gives you assurance that you're okay, that you're acceptable, that no matter what else happens, you've been accepted. Now, a bad master will kind of hold that as a dangling carrot in front of you, saying, keep performing, do better, try harder, and maybe I'll accept you at the end of the day. So it turns out, then, that the eagles were right. Not the flying eagles, the singing eagles. Freedom is just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. There is no such thing as true freedom. But there is true freedom from some things in which I will simply submit myself to a new master. Now, maybe I can convince you of that. Maybe I can convince you that, you know, everyone has a master. Everyone's submitting to some master out there, and everyone decides, you know, this defines me. This gives me purpose. This gives me my freedom. This gives me my assurance. This is who I am. But, okay, so, Leonard, so now you're simply going to do this quick, well, your master should be Jesus, but what if I don't buy that? What if I'm happy with my master? This is where we have to return to the true purpose of the master. Again, any master can tell you, I'm giving you purpose. If my master is my career or success in my job, that master is going to tell me what my purpose is. Your purpose is to do a good job at work, no matter what the cost. Your purpose is to make sure that everyone at work recognizes your abilities, recognizes how invaluable you are to the job, and then make sure that everyone sees you shine in that light. If your purpose is successful children, or if your master is successful children, then your purpose in life is to make sure your children have opportunities to shine. Your whole purpose in life is to make sure they have academic opportunities and athletic opportunities and social opportunities and artistic opportunities, and you will exist for your children. They're your master. The success of my children is my master. That gives me my purpose. But can any of these false masters give me freedom? Can any of these masters give me freedom to do the things that I ought? If my job is my master, there are times that I know I'm supposed to say no to my job. There are times that I know I'm supposed to stay to go home. There are times that I know I'm supposed to care for my family, but if my job is my master, I do not have the freedom with that master to do the things I'm supposed to do. If the success or the happiness of my children is my master, I won't have the freedom I need to say no to them, to help them grow through failure. You know, we have this strange system now where everyone who participates gets a trophy. I mean, when did that happen? Every kid gets a trophy. I didn't get a trophy playing t-ball. I didn't get a trophy when I was in fifth grade football. We came in second place, but, you know, as Ricky Bobby, you know, second place, first loser. If you ain't first, you're last. There used to be a time that we taught our kids that. You didn't win. Sorry. Baseball's not like the gospel. The highest score wins in baseball. Who knew? But now we think that we've got to tell our kids that they're special. You know what? If everyone's special, nobody's special. And sometimes we tell our kids they're special, and really all we mean is, I love you. But that somehow feels harder to say. Well, say that to your kids. They might be average. Tell them you love them. But anyway, that was a little freebie there. I'm supposed to stay on target here. See, now we gotta fly to make up time. But certainly we don't get assurance from our false masters. Assurance that I'm okay. You know, if my job is my master, when I fail, I am not certain that I'm okay. In fact, I'm quite certain that I have failed. That things are not good, that I'm not acceptable, that I'm not pleasing at my job. If I fail at home, if my family is my master, when I fail, when I do things wrong, and you will do things wrong every January, it seems, as Father of the Year comes up for grabs again, it usually doesn't take longer than January 2nd that I have missed Father of the Year again, and I have to wait till the next year. You will fail. And what will your master, how will your master respond? Can any master truly say to you, it's okay, I accept you anyway? See, none of our masters on earth are actually willing to sacrifice anything in order to accept us. And that's what's necessary from a master. Because you will fail your master. And can your master, will your master sacrifice in order to accept you? Or will your master simply hold over you, you know, do better, try harder? When we see pictures of that, we're moved. It's part of what makes Independence Day special and Memorial Day, because we get to remember pictures and times where men and women actually sacrificed for the freedom of others. Sacrificed to make sure that others find and fulfill their purpose, their freedom, and their assurance. Or sacrifice in order to provide life and liberty and happiness to others. I mean, we hear stories like that. We hear stories about that kind of sacrifice. We watch movies about that kind of sacrifice, and we're all moved by those kinds of stories. It's because that is written into our DNA. We are designed to be moved by stories of redemption, stories of someone sacrificially giving in order to provide for someone else. Stories where we hear someone say, I will die to protect your freedom, your assurance, your purpose. We all instinctively know that that is a noble person who would do that. Part of why we know that is because Christ did that. God Himself did that in Jesus Christ. God sent His Son, sacrificed, so that He as our Master would be able to say to us assuredly, I accept you. You are okay. I give you purpose. I give you freedom to do the things you're supposed to do, the things you ought to do, and I give you assurance that you're accepted, that I accept you, that you're okay. God sent His Son to fight with the false masters, with the tyrannical governments, if you will, so that He would set Himself up in their place as the true government, as the true governor. He died in order to set us free. Free from the tyranny of sin. Free to be able to submit ourselves to our heavenly master. This is why Galatians 5 says, it's for freedom's sake that you've been set free, and so don't return to a yoke of slavery. Because you've been freed from all of that. And so now you submit yourself to God's yoke. Corporal Jason Dunham received the Medal of Honor on April 14th, 2004. His squad was conducting a reconnaissance mission in a town in Iraq. They heard rocket-propelled grenades and small arms fire erupting about 2 kilometers to their west, and so Corporal Dunham led his combined anti-armor team toward the engagement in order to provide fire support for their battalion commander's convoy, which had been ambushed. And as Corporal Dunham's Marines advanced, they began to receive enemy fire, and so Corporal Dunham ordered his entire squad to dismount their vehicles, and he led them on foot, his fire teams, several blocks south of the ambush convoy, where he discovered several vehicles trying to make an escape. And so they began to stop these vehicles, and an insurgent jumped out of one of the vehicles and attacked Corporal Dunham. The two of them wrestling on the ground, Corporal Dunham wrestling with this insurgent, and in the wrestling, Corporal Dunham saw the man release a hand grenade. Corporal Dunham, aware of the imminent danger and without hesitation, covered the hand grenade with his helmet and his own body and absorbed the entire explosion himself, saving the lives of his fellow Marines. This is how they describe him at the end of the write-up about his Medal of Honor. By his undaunted courage, intrepid fighting spirit, and unwavering devotion to duty, Corporal Dunham gallantly gave his life for his country, thereby reflecting great credit upon himself and upholding the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. Lieutenant Colonel Pete Sniffen, chaplain in the U.S. Army, he says, "We revere stories like this. Stories like this sacrificial redemption. Because our Lord, the Son of God, did that very thing for us. He came down, he wrestled with our enemy, and threw himself on the cross for us, absorbing the entire penalty and punishment for sin. But this wasn't just with an enemy saving us because we were like-minded soldiers with him. He saved us and we were the insurgents. Our sin is the sin that drove him to the cross. And by his death, he makes us his sons and daughters. He forgives us for our sin so that we can truly be free from the lies of the tyranny of the masters that we have submitted ourselves to. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that he absorbed the explosion that you deserve, then you have been set free. You're no longer a slave to that. Live in that freedom. Enjoy that freedom that Christ has died to procure for you. And if you have not repented and believed, if you have not realized what Christ has done to deliver you from that, absorbing the explosion that you deserve, today could be your day of independence. But unlike the 4th of July in 1776, when that was simply a declaration that started the battle, this would be a day that ended the battle for you. Because it wouldn't be your declaration. It would be Christ's declaration of independence for you, saying, "You are free. I absorb that explosion. I pay that price. You're mine." In Romans 8, Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Let's pray. Father God, indeed we do come together today to celebrate this country's independence. What started a long decade-long war in which men and women sacrificed families, sacrificed themselves, sacrificed sons, because what they were fighting for was greater than what they might keep. Fighting to find true purpose and freedom and assurance. But God, we celebrate far more than that today, because in Christ we have been set free from sin, from the worst tyrannical ruler that ever existed. God, I pray that we would live as those who have been freed from sin, who have been bound to you by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God, for any who have not realized that, I pray that you would grant them repentance. Grant them to know that Christ has wrestled with our tyrant. Christ has thrown himself down onto the cross and absorbed the death that was meant for us, so that we might be free indeed. Grant us the faith to believe this. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a couple more songs together. Arise, my soul, arise.